good morning. Nope. I pushed the button. Okay, here we go. Woohoo. I was switching. Good morning. Please have a seat. I'm always afraid to turn that thing on too early because... Welcome to this time and this place of worship. If you are visiting with us, a very warm welcome to you. We're so pleased to have you with us this morning. We have a guest book just outside the entranceway of the bulletin of the sanctuary, so please let us know you've been here. We'd love to have you. We love having you here. We have a time of fellowship following the service. If you go out the doors here to the left, follow your way to the hall. You can join us for a cup of coffee or tea or a little something to share, and we'd love to have some conversation. My name is Reverend Michael Mugford, and I'm in ministry here at Cole Harbour Woodside, and pleased to be able to be here with you all this morning. Good morning. You're my subway buddy, I know. So as we gather, you're so cute, I just lost my train of thought. We're all here, we're going to have church service. This is the way, if you're visiting, this is the way things go. We're very informal, and we enjoy being together in one another's company. If during service time when the offering comes forward, as guests and visitors, if you would like to leave an offering, there's certainly no requirement that you do so. But if you would like, there are visitor envelopes in the pews. Fill it out, let us know you've been here. We'd love to send a little note to you saying thanks for joining us for worship. And if you're looking for a spiritual home, a church home, and think that this might be a good place, a good fit for you, come and have some conversation with me. I'd love to tell you a little bit more about the wonderful ministry that happens here at Cole Harbour Woodside United Church. So as we gather, we have been, as part of our nation's initiative and our church's initiative, working to walk in deeper relationship with First Nations in our communities. And so we acknowledge the place in which we stand, and I invite you to respond with the bold. We gather in this place with gratitude, acknowledging that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq. May we live with respect on this land and in peace and friendship with its people. And I invite us to sing our gathering song. It's new to everybody. We only started doing it last week, so if you're visiting with us and you don't know it, don't worry about it. We're all learning it together. So it's in the words are in your bulletin and on the screen. As the flame of peace begins to burn, I forgot the song. the flame of peace begins to burn. As the great star shone in Bethlehem,
may our light shine in the world each day.
We begin our Advent journey with peace.
We begin our worship with light.
Let us pray together. Let your spirit burn in our hearts, O Holy One. Let your light shine in our lives, O Coming One. Let your presence shine in the world, O Comforting One. As we wait through this Advent season for the birth of the Christ child once again, may the light prophets, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds and wise ones, guide us to the stable where peace was born anew. May we have hearts and eyes that are open so that we will see the places where the child is born anew, in our time, in our world, and in our lives. As we journey together, we will welcome and encourage all who will follow with us to Bethlehem once again. May it be so. Amen. And I invite us to sing, There's a Voice in the Wilderness Calling.
Reading from Malachi, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years.
Thank you, Natalie. Would the children who are here this morning like to gather with me over there by the Christmas tree? I fooled you this morning, didn't I? You thought we were going to the mat, but we're not. We're going to the Christmas tree. Looks pretty good, eh? You helped to set it up. There were a good bunch of people here last time. That's an angel up there this year. Yeah. How many people have Christmas trees up in their house already? Bunch of people do, yeah? We don't have ours set up yet. It's there, but we don't quite have it set up yet. So last Sunday after church, a wonderful group of people came, and they hung our big star, and they put garland all around the church, and there's beautiful lights here and in the sanctuary and out in the hall. So it was just wonderful, a great kind of fun day to do some decorating. But the Christmas tree is kind of looking bare. That's a good word, bare, yeah. So I thought it would be fun to, during the children's time this morning, if we talked a little bit about the Christmas tree and all the stuff we do with the Christmas tree. So how many of you know why we put trees in our houses for Christmas? Do you know why? Why? It's cheerful. Yeah, that's a good reason. Nice and bright and green. And a real one really smells nice too, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Well, a long, long time ago, a man by the name of Martin Luther, he was walking through the forest hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and it was a snowy winter night, and he saw snow falling, and it was landing on the trees, and he thought how beautiful that was, and it reminded him of God's beauty in the world and the beauty of the birth of the Christ child, and he thought it would be wonderful if we could do that same thing inside our houses, and so he cut down the tree, and he brought it into his house, and he put candles on it. Now, we don't do that today because we know how dangerous that is today. That's right. So we have electric lights go on our tree, and pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Did it work? Yeah! So we have a beautiful... It's still a little bit bare, isn't it? But we have pretty lights on it now, right? And people were putting candles, and they put them on the tree and stuff like that. It would look really... And we put an angel on the top of the tree this year. Now, the word angel means messenger. The angels were messengers of God. And angels are really important in our Bible stories, aren't they? Do you know where angels appear in different Bible stories? Where? At Jesus' birth. What did the angels say when Jesus was born? Do you remember who they talked to? Mary. They talked to Mary, yeah. They told Mary she was going to have a baby. Who else did the angels talk to? They talked to Joseph in Matthew's gospel. They talked to Joseph, exactly. Who else did they talk to? What men? Do you remember? The three wise men. They had a star and they followed that. Yeah, they brought in the stuff, right? Gold and frankincense and myrrh. And who else when they were sleeping in the fields watching over their flocks at night? Who were those people? Shepherds. The angels came to the shepherds. So all of those people heard wonderful news from the angels. So we put an angel on the top of our tree. How's that? Is that good enough? Yeah? No, we don't need to do any more. Should we put more? More? Okay, well, I've got some things we could put on. Let me scoot through here. And... we have, hold on, one at a time. Here we go. What's that? A star. So why would we put a star on our Christmas tree? Someone told me, yeah? A- Excellent. So here are some stars. Now, I don't have enough of everyone for everyone, but I do have enough for everybody to put something on. So who would like to put a star on the tree? When we get to the candy canes, you can put a candy cane. You'd like to put a star. Okay, we're going to pass the basket of stars around, and you pull one, take one, and we'll put it on the tree, okay? And maybe some of the children who are a little taller can help to put some up a little bit higher, and some of the ones who are shorter can put ones along the bottom. How about that? Okay, so the basket's coming around. The next thing that we often put on our Christmas trees are, as we have here, candy canes. Why do we put candy canes on the tree? For Christmas dinner. Here, there's lots more. Yeah, sure. Oh, and then they pick a star, any star. We put candy canes on the tree. You got a candy cane. You go ahead and put it on the tree. Come put it on the tree. Don't step on the stars. Who wants a star to put on? You'll take a star. There's going to be lots of opportunity. Come and have a star. I told you it would be chaos. I told you. I knew it. Who didn't get a star? Would you like to put a star on? You want to put on a star? There's lots of stars. No more on the... Who didn't get a star over there? Would you like to put one on? Star? I got a couple more there. Thank you. I'm going to have all kinds of helpers all of a sudden come out of the woodwork. Oh, well, wonderful. Thank you. Good plan, poorly executed. All right. How are the candy canes and the stars going? Good. Now, I've got some. What's this? A bell. Why might we put bells on our Christmas tree? Would you like a bell to put on? Yeah? Why would we put bells on the Christmas tree? Lots of churches have bells. We don't have a bell right now. No. But bells ring out to remind us of the wonderful music that the angels sang at Jesus' birth. Here we go, right there. Wonderful. And we're not done. We have Christmas balls. Would you like to put some? Do you want to take those and you can hand them around? Wonderful. How's our tree coming? How's it looking? How's it looking from back there? Is it looking good? Yeah? Wonderful. So, do you want to put an angel on the tree? These are knitted angels. There we go. There we go. There's a little string right there. Would you like to put an angel on the tree? We have some angels to go on the tree, too. Are all the balls and bells? Oh, my gosh, we're having... who has the Christmas balls? Would you like an angel to put on the tree? So you have to have a little string. Yeah. Oh, missing strings. Always the way. There we go. Yeah, there's a couple more. Wonderful. Okay. The tree is looking pretty good. Beautiful. You can put that. There's a branch right there. You can put that one. Okay. Oh, there we go. No, she's got it right there. Yeah. All right. Good. Is just about everything on the tree yet? A couple more things left to put on. The balls are going to... Wonderful. That looks so much better, don't you think? You put that on wherever you would like. That one right there? Can I bring that? That'll bend down a little bit for you. There we go. Can you get it over there? There we go. It's nice and light. It's going to hang right on there. Wonderful. Couple more ornaments to put on. Wonderful. The angels are all on now. I thought they all had strings. Thank you. There we go. Oh, look, I've got a twist tie right here. We can have one more ball go on the tree. Who wanted to put something on the tree? Did you want to put a ball on the tree? There you go. There. Whoops. Bonk. There you go. You can put that one on the tree. All right. So it's looking a little bit more Christmassy here, isn't it? Yeah. Wonderful. So the other thing we've been doing, did anybody bring food with them for the children to gather up? Some have already gathered up. Did anyone still have any left? Oh, look. So we have a couple of people. We need to collect some food for our stable to support our food bank. Who would like to go over and do that? Someone can. You want to go ahead and get, the two of you can go get that bag of food. Anyone else? Put your hand up and wave. Oh, over here. Barb McAlpine's got some. And way in the back there, Margaret Bain has one. There we go. And the ones who aren't putting up food, we need to put food in our grocery cart for the north. And because our choir was so generous last Sunday, we have a lot of things to put in our grocery cart this morning for our food for the north. So I am going to put some tape, and everybody's sure. I'll take a bunch of tape there. I don't know if that'll work or not, but anyway. There we go. There's enough for everybody to put something in the grocery cart this morning because the choir was so generous last week. And in fact, Jennifer is going to have to make some more. There you go. You put that one in the grocery cart. There we go. So for those who weren't able to be here the last couple of weeks, here, you need some tape on the back? Here's some tape. Tape on yours. Our worship committee decided that we would use Gifts with Vision this year as one of our Advent conspiracy projects. And it is food for the North. So all of the funds we raise will be used by Mission and Service to buy food cards for people who live in northern Canada. And so what we have here are items that we would often find in our grocery baskets and the cost of them in the north. So there you go. So, for instance, a jar of peanut butter, $13. A bag of potatoes, a 10-pound bag of potatoes, $22 in Canada's north. And, oh, we see a bag of flour. How many of you are bakers? Do you like to bake? $55 for a bag of flour. Yeah, so who else needs to say $54.99? There we go. Tape there. Has everybody had a chance to put one on? Go see Lindsay over there. All right. It is. It costs a lot of money to live in Canada's north, so we're helping people feed their families in the north. Oh, that's, yeah. All right. Has everybody put one on? Everybody's got one? Very good. You got one? You did one? All right. No, that's fine. Well, Jennifer will have to print off some more for next week. So, if you would like to contribute to our Advent conspiracy, you can use an envelope that's on the table outside the sanctuary here. If you already put an envelope in during offering time, you can add that to your envelope and just write on the envelope for the tellers, food for the north, so they will know. You can do it that, or just put it in the offering plate with a little envelope of your own, says food for the north, and that will all go. And so the tellers are going to let me know over the course of the week how much we brought in, and we'll put some more in our food bank. And then the funds will go to the Mission and Service, and they will buy the gift cards for our brothers and sisters in the north. So let's have our children's prayer. Like, come on over here by the Christmas tree. Everybody gather around. We're going to have a prayer, and then we're going to have a song. I did warn Kelly that children's time would go long this morning, so that Sunday school teachers do have a heads up. The kids are late. So let's have a little prayer. So I'll say a little bit, and you can repeat after me, and then we're going to have a song. So put our hands together. We'll close our eyes. You can repeat after me and say, thank you, God, for the beauty of Christmas. Help us to remember that during Christmas, We are called to reach out, and love one another, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. And we're going to sing Alleluia, Praise to God. It's in more voices. And I'm going to stand and sing. Awesome. And Natalie is going to share our second scripture with us this morning. There's a little bit of one back here.
It's a wonderful topic, Jen.
Reading from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. John the Baptist prepares the way. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and the Lysanias Tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of his sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation.
Shine your light has come. Lift your voices with the morning sun. Sleepers, wake and clear up.
See the wonders of the Lord.
See
Thank you to our choir and to Charles and Greg for the beautiful music. If you liked that, December 16th, that's what I thought, December 16th, here at 7 o'clock, come on out and you'll hear the whole cantata. It's beautiful. Thank you. Pause with me for a moment of prayer. As we move into this time of meditation, O God, may your spirit be the source of my words, the meditations of all of our hearts, and the inspiration for our living, the days that are to come. In Christ we pray. Amen. Second Sunday of Advent. Oh my goodness. It's getting closer. 2 weeks. 2 weeks is all we have left. Wow. Advent is a tough time for those of us who are a little bit of purists when it comes to being clergy. We're liturgically really too focused sometimes. I've often been in sort of push-pull struggles with congregations because we all want Christmas to come right away. We're just so hyped and excited about the coming of Christmas. And I think that the children around us help to buoy that up a little bit and cause things to help us speed on forward. But one of the things I have often tried to do is slow us down a little bit during Advent. Most of us would agree that we are forced by society to acknowledge the coming of Christmas earlier and earlier every year. This last fall, I'm not pointing fingers because it happens everywhere. At the Superstore on Eisner Boulevard, the jack-o'-lanterns weren't gone before they were painting the windows with the holiday scenes. And in one of the displays at the front, there was a jack-o'-lantern nestled in between poinsettia plants. Give me a break. Last year, I was in the Superstore again on the 27th of December, and there was Easter candy on the shelves. No word of a lie, Easter candy the 27th of December. Why? Why? Why do we need to do that? Why do we need to rush our way through things? Why do we have to not, why do we have to be dragged from where we are in the midst of Advent and already be landed at Christmas? Why can we not just enjoy the moment we're in? How can we sit on Christmas Day with family and friends and enjoy the things that we hope to enjoy if the stores are telling us better be prepared for Easter because it's only 3.5 months away? And come New Year, if you haven't got your Canada Day decorations bought, you're out of luck. In almost 20 years of ministry, I have been trying and trying to reduce our speed a little bit, to drop from that 110 kilometers an hour just down to 50. I don't want us to stop and stay, but just let's slow down a little bit. And yet we come on the second Sunday of Advent to this passage from Luke's Gospel. We haven't even gotten to the birth of Jesus yet, and already John the Baptizer is a grown man wandering in the wilderness shouting, "Prepare." I guess the framers of the Revised Common and Lectionary weren't much different from some of the marketers of the 2018 season. But if we look closely at John's message, even though it's out of time with what we think is the progression of our Advent season, it really is a message about preparing. It really is about getting ready, not having already arrived. The author of Luke places on John's lips the prophetic voice of that great prophet Isaiah to remind the readers of the gospel that things need to be done before the arrival of God, prepare, prepare, get ready. Take your time and know where you are going. Prepare the way of the Lord. Now, one of the fascinating things I found this week in reading some of the lectionary commentaries and having conversation with Tuesday morning thinkers and the online Bible study is this preparing the way of the Lord. Preparing, getting ready the road for the Lord. The path that John, I think, is talking about in reference to Isaiah is not about going back to God. But rather, the path is the path that God will use to come to us. Think about that for a second. The path that we are preparing, the mountains that are being made low, the hills that are being lifted up, the crooked paths that are being straight are not for us to travel, but they are for God to travel to us. 20 years of ministry, I've never ever seen that before. It is God who is coming to us in Advent and in Christmas, not us going to God. This is God's movement, not our movement. It must remain God's. The work that we do is preparing the way for God to come here to Cole Harbor Woodside United Church. For God to come here to Halifax Regional Municipality. For God to come here to our world. John is calling those who would hear him to repent and return. Now, I know repent is not a word you hear me say very, very often. It's not one I use a lot. It has a lot of baggage attached to it, and it's a little bit anachronistic. But the word repent, in its root, means stop going where you're going and turn around and come back to where you were. It literally means turn around. If you are walking away from God, then repenting is simply turning around and watching God come towards you on that path that we are preparing. Turn around. Come back home. Advent is a journey. It's not a destination. It's a journey. Our faith is a journey, not a destination. It is not something to be achieved or attained. It is something to be lived and refined and worked on over the course of our entire lives. The same is true for preparing God's pathway to come to us. It is not a road that has a beginning and an end. As God is eternal, so too is the path on which God travels into our midst. It was not started in the early pages of Genesis, and it was not completed at the child of Bethlehem, nor in the church that is Cole Harbor Woodside United Church at this moment. It has not even found its end in what is to come in the hours, days, weeks, months ahead. Faith and God are journeys. I want us to journey through Advent intentionally, not to try and keep Christmas at bay, but rather to prepare ourselves for when it arrives, that we might renew our understanding in this time of the paths that God has traveled with us to be with us here today. That we will understand the paths that God wants us to travel today. That we will understand the paths that God has us hoping to travel tomorrow. Prepare the way of God. Find the crooked places in the world. Make them straight. The places that divert our lives as individuals and as a society from God. Take the time and fill in those valleys. Bring down those mountains so that God's journey is not delayed. that it's not delayed by the mountains of injustice, that it's not delayed by the valleys of hunger and imprisonment, that God's journey is not waylaid by illness and sickness of our brothers and sisters of the human race. All these things are called upon to be made straight so that God will come to us in God's time. These are the things we are to be about, brothers and sisters, as well as the garland and the Christmas trees and the carols and the gifts. They are part and parcel of who we are. But the message of Isaiah, the message echoed by John the Baptizer, the message echoed by Jesus is, brothers and sisters, that the highway must be made ready. For God is coming to us now and tomorrow. May it be so. That need to be shared this morning.
Sunday, December 16th at 7:30 p.m. is the choir's Christmas cantata. I know we're all busy. We have, you know, the family trip to Disney Town and our weekly jazzercise classes scheduled, but I assure you it's worth canceling all of that. You know, come. You know, and if you like the little piece we did today, you know, that lovely little direct modulation from C minor to D minor, it was wonderful, I thought. So come hear more of that. That'll be on Sunday, December 16th at 7:30. Thank you.
I know, I am not going to be as funny. I have two announcements. The youth group still has some of crafts available for sale. We have Christmas cards, gift tags, and some nativity scenes. All the money that is raised from the sale of these is going to buy Christmas presents for the boys at Cogswell House. Our group is actually going shopping this afternoon, so this is your last chance to help support us in bringing Christmas to these boys. Second, if you have a child signed up for the Christmas Eve service, if they could come here after worship is over, we're going to start handing out costumes and trying to start blocking out our scenes, learning our songs, all that good stuff. So if they could come here right after, that would be great. Thanks.
That children's service is at 4 o'clock on Christmas Eve, and it is wonderful. It is truly wonderful. Any other announcements? Just want to share with the community this morning our thoughts and our prayers are at with the family of Myra Shand, who passed away this last week at Oakwood Terrace. Myra's a member of the congregation, a service of celebration of her life, will be held here on Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And so if you would like to come and share some time with the family, I'm sure they would be greatly appreciative. That's all I have. Our moment for mission and service.
Nursing in the Korean context. Our gifts for mission and service support overseas personnel like Marion Pope, a registered nurse who served with the Presbyterian Church in the Republic of Korea in South Korea for 36 years. Hold the gospel and culture in creative tension. These words of her teacher, Dr. Catherine Hawken, guided Marion, who became a well-known and respected teacher and writer about mission. Our questions relate to the struggle to reconcile the truth we see in the gospel with the values of the culture in which we are living and working, says Marion. Those going to partner churches overseas are all trying to learn how the gospel is understood and being lived by the people of that partner church. We were not being sent out to change others or to achieve an end. We were being sent out to learn, work, and live with other people under the direction of the church to which we were sent.
As a nursing educator, Marion took this challenge seriously and taught the traditions of Korean nursing, which had been replaced by Western medicine. Marion gave us insight into how to develop nursing in the Korean context. Don't just borrow from the West, she told us. Use your own Korean perspective. We learned from her that Korean nursing has much to offer. Her influence is still being felt, notes Professor Lee Wong-hee of Yonsei University College of Nursing. Says Marion, everything I have done and taught and lived in Korea and Canada was my attempt to reflect the missiology I was taught by Dr. Catherine Hawken and the diaconal ministry taught at the Center for Christian Studies. If mission and service giving is already a part of your life, thank you very much. If you have not given, please join us in making mission and service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
Thank you, Cindy and Suzanne. In that spirit, then, we present our gifts and our offerings. Thank you. We thank you, O God, for the ability to come together in this time and in this place. May these offerings brought forward in these offering plates, those that are offered through our preauthorized remittance, those that are offered through the work of our hands each day, the love of our hearts that goes out into the world, may these blessings be a blessing to those who receive. In Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. For the prayers of the people this morning, I want to share a prayer that I also used at the 9:30 service this morning. And so at each section where I share the words, Spirit of all life, I ask you to respond, we bring our prayer to you. Spirit of all life, we bring our prayer to you. Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, parent who watches over us like a mother with her children, you have created a world with richness and beauty beyond description. As winter gathers around us, we are reminded that even though much seems frozen, your spirit continues to move in our lives and in our world. The barren trees, the gray skies, the frozen earth, the howl of the wind and the bite of cold may speak of death to many, but we know, in faith, earth merely waits renewal and new life. So too it is with our lives. Spirit of all life, we bring our prayer to you. Eternal Spirit, you blow like the wind. Where you come from and where you are going, we do not know. And yet we know you are always with us. You are as near to us as our hands, our hearts, and our very breath. We pause to sense your presence, to remember your power and your meek gentleness. We are thankful for your life, for we are your people. Spirit of all life, we bring our prayers to you. God of peace, on this Sunday of peace, we pray for peace in our world. Not just the peace of no warfare, but the peace, the shalom, the salam, that is peace with justice for all people. We pray for a world where children get the food and health care they need. We pray for a world where resources are shared equitably with all. We pray for a world where our swords are beaten into plowshares, a place where war is studied no more. Spirit of all life, we bring our prayer to you. We pray for our country. May our land be one that truly is free and fair. A place where everyone is given a fair go. May this be a country where we remembered all who have gone before us. May we respect its indigenous peoples, the flora and the fauna of this land. And may we be good stewards of all that it offers. Spirit of all life, we bring our prayer to you. We pray for our community. May we at Cole Harbor Woodside United Church be good neighbors. May we open our hearts to those around us, those in need of a helping hand, an encouraging word, a pat on the back. In this moment of prayer, we lift the prayers that are weighing upon our individual hearts to you through your Spirit, that we might hear your divine voice speaking in our hearts. Peace. Spirit of all life, we bring our prayer to you. As we share together in the words of Jesus' prayer, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. As we conclude our service this morning, let us sing together 651 from Voices United, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, 651. And so let us leave this time and this place and let us go out into the world, helping those around us prepare. For God comes to us, not to judge and punish, but to lift up and love. Let us bring that message of hope, peace, joy, and love to those we encounter in the world this week and in the days to come. In Christ we go. Amen.